invite you to rise in our entrance hymn is hymn number 305 in the green hymnal, but we have no green hymnals. It's on the back page of your readings and prayers insert. I lay my sins on Jesus, hymn 305, as our entrance hymn this Lenten season. But this is the confession that is found in that liturgy. And so we use it today as we begin our Lenten journey. The first page, front and back. We begin our Lenten journey with the confession. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another, and before the whole company of heaven, that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O God. Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our neglect of human need and suffering and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, We confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Amen. During the Ash Wednesday liturgy, there is no absolution or forgiveness because that comes on Maundy Thursday, which is the last week in March this year. And so there is no absolution today either as we begin this Lenten journey. We continue the 40 days of the fast and the 40 days of our journey into Lent. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. Find on page 138 in the front of the hymnal. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this Lenten season for the 40 days of Lent will be hymn number 324, hymn 324, In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory, verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 324, verses 1 and 3. The first reading for today, this first Sunday in the season of Lent, comes to us from the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Listen carefully, it's part of the sermon text for today. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal on the earth with you, as many came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the whole earth. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth, when I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said this to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalmody for today is Psalm 25. We read it responsibly as it's found in the bulletin. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore you instruct sinners in the way. You lead the humble in what is right, and teach the humble your way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep your covenant and your decrees, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for this day, the first Sunday in Lent, comes to us from the first letter of Peter, the third chapter of that letter. For Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through the water. And baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, who has gone into the heaven and is in the right and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for today, this first Sunday in Lent, is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, and Genesis chapter 9. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you for being here today on a 3-day weekend when it's cold and snowy and it'd be so much nicer to be between the sheets and warm and tucked in. I've always said the most important people are here today. That's you, okay? 2 weeks ago, we had 85 people for First Communion. Last week, we had 67 people for First Communion Part 2. I didn't realize how true it was, and I have to say, that's why I'm saying this. At coffee hour last week, we had cake for both Sundays, okay? The Boy Scouts did their thing on 2 weeks ago. We had cake and punch and everything. Beautiful cake made by Elizabeth Christian, and was delicious. excuse me, I get all choked up. One of the mothers of one of the candidates who came back the second time, okay, he had First Communion the first week, but he came back with his family. Four of the six kids who were here that first week came back. And she said to me over the coffee table, she goes, "Well, you promised cake." And I thought, how true. And I said to her, I said, "I would provide cake for you every Sunday if that's what it takes. If it took cake to have you come every Sunday to worship and coffee hour, I would be there." Thank you for being here today. I appreciate it very, very much. Especially since first time in 40 years I didn't do Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. Not counting pandemic, that doesn't count for anything, right? First time in 40 years I didn't do Ash Wednesday because I was sicker than a dog. Okay? I didn't make it to the pancake supper. First time in 16 years. I didn't make it to the pancake supper Monday night. I was in bed trying to breathe, and it wasn't too successful at it. But it was a great evening, okay? And there were a lot of people here. They had great food. I heard all about it this week. Today, I'm quarantining myself up here, so I'm not greeting you at the beginning or at the end of worship. There is coffee hour. I think Laverne made coffee. Yay. And so you can stay and visit for that. I won't be doing that over the table with you. I am not contagious today, but I still have a rumble in my chest. I was much better 4 hours ago. 4 hours ago, I was fit as a fiddle. And then it just deteriorated, as it's done every week this week. But I'm here, and it's good. The headline in the newspaper this past week was "Torrential Rains." And I was studying all week about Noah and the Ark and the flood. And all of a sudden, I'm reading about torrential rains. Listen to some of the stats from the article in the newspaper. An atmospheric river storm, which we all are learning about now. There's another one coming through this week, California. An atmospheric river storm drenched Southern California for days this past week, flooding roads and causing mudslides from Santa Barbara to San Diego. Now, I need to confess, I have friends in San Diego and in L.A., and so I was very concerned for them a week ago as all this was happening. At least 9 people have died from heavy rains and winds across the state. A record amount of rain fell on Los Angeles Basin, with some places getting as much as 13 inches in just a few days. About 4 inches of rain fell in downtown Los Angeles in just one day. The previous record recorded for downfall of rain in downtown LA was 2.55 inches, all of you farmer people that have gauges, 2.55 inches back in 1927. A week ago, they got 4 inches in one day. There were reported more than 475 mudslides in LA alone. The storm also reached Northern California, where winds exceeded 90 miles an hour, toppling trees, killing 4 people, and at one point left more than 850,000 homes and businesses without power. The headline was torrential rain. I love that word, torrential. I practice all week saying it. And then we've got we've got the Old Testament reading, Genesis 9. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals of every kind, every living creature that is with you from the ark, and every animal on the earth, as many as come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the whole earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for future generations. And then God goes on to say, when I bring clouds over the earth, the bow is seen in the clouds. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. I wonder how many people in LA and San Diego and Southern California were wondering if the rains would ever stop and how flooded it might be. When the bow is in the clouds, God says, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every loving creature. Now, covenant is that big, fancy, $15 theological word, which means promise. We had many more covenants hundreds of years ago in our society and in our church. But a covenant is a promise. This next week, that's why I'm trying to get healthy. I've got 2 weddings this coming week, and I've got 1 wedding in March. Now, I may have 13 baptisms, okay, in the month of March and April. Those are kind of in the works. 13! Yeah, talk about Batman. We're going to talk about that in a minute, water. But a covenant simply means a promise. Weddings, baptisms, buying a car, buying a house. I'm leaving in a week to go to Oregon to see where I might live. Huh. I've got a number of friends saying, you ought to buy, you shouldn't rent anything. Because Bend, Oregon, where my mother lives, she's been in the hospital 4 times in the past 2 weeks, Friday and Saturday, just the past couple days. It's timely that I'm helping my sister, who's been there for 2 weeks. She had to ask her family and friends in Southern Oregon to ship her overnight express, her diabetic medicine. Because she ran out. She didn't think she'd be there that long. She was going to be there for a week. She'd been there for 2 weeks. It'd be $500 to get the medicine from the pharmacy because she didn't have the prescription with her. But she had enough in her refrigerator for the next month. So they overnight expressed her medicine on Friday. I said, Jody, I hope it was FedEx or UPS because it's a 3-day weekend for the Postal Service. Because it was. She got it. It's fine. A covenant is a promise between God and you. We have covenants all through the Bible. Adam and Eve, there was a covenant with them, a promise made. With Noah and Noah's family, Mrs. Noah and his sons and wives, daughter-in-laws. Abraham and Sarah, Moses, David, the king, and then finally with Jesus. If we had time, and I'm not going to do that to you today, sermon's going to be short. Yeah. If we had time, we could go through all the covenants from Adam and Eve all the way down through Jesus, the final covenant, okay, the New Testament. But you can do that on your own. The important aspects of the covenant today in Genesis 9 is made with all creation. Not just a husband and a wife, Adam and Eve, or Abraham and Sarah. Okay? Not just with a king like David or a prophet like Moses. It's made with all creation. The covenant is a multi-generational covenant also. Not just made with one family, Abraham and Sarah, who will be a blessing to all the world. Noah and his family who will be a blessing to all the world. But it's made to all generations, you and me included. As well as the people in LA and San Diego. The covenant was made for future. Never again will I ever do this, God said. I will remember what I have done and never again do it. One theologian says it this way, and for you that like theological gobbledygook, here it is. This covenant is a divine response to a theological irresistible force and a paradox. Number one, God's unstoppable purpose to create a peaceful universe colliding with, number two, God's immovable compassion for destructive rebellion rejecting humanity. It doesn't fit together. God wants peace on earth, goodwill towards all people, we say at Christmas time. But we don't want to play by God's rules. We don't want to play in the sandbox or playground the way God has set it all up. Simply put, if God wants to stay in relationship with creation, with humankind especially, the creatures made in the image of God, then God must change. Huh? God is the one who must change. God repents. God turns from vindication to forgiveness, patience, and steadfast love for creation and for all of humanity, despite the knowledge that the human heart will never change. Ever since the beginning of time, folks, Adam and Eve, all the way through the Noahs and the Moseses and the Davids and the you and me's, we rebel. We reject God. We are like the little 2-year-old. I can do it myself, leave me alone. Or like the 16-year-old, give me the car keys and $50 to go to the movie because that's what it costs now. I got senior discount. I went to the movie for the first time in 4 years. Boys in the Boat. It made me cry. Great movie. Made me cry. But I got senior discount. I thought, if I look this old and if I am this old, if I get to retire, I'm getting senior discount. And I saved a bundle. And then they looked at me like, you want pop and popcorn with that? I said, no way. I don't want your $15 box of popcorn or your $8 jar of, pop. It makes me sick. If God wants to stay in relationship with you and me, it's God who has to change. Lent, okay, purple pyramids, purple banners, and all that kind of thing. It's about repentance, right? Turning from our evil ways. Repent. That's what all Ash Wednesday is about. Turn from your evil ways and turn back to God. That's what the next 40 days are going to all be about. God tried for decades and decades and eons to get humanity to turn. He gave them gifts. He gave them laws. He gave them leaders, and they would not listen. And so who has to change? That's the irony of it all, folks. God is the one who has to change. God changes. He lays his weapon down in the sky, facing upwards, so it can no longer be used against all of creation. He puts the bow in the clouds as a personal reminder that never again will he destroy creation with a flood. And that he is the one who will remember this promise. It's a sign to God. There's a story about a mother and a son. They were out walking one day and it had rained and there was a rainbow over in the sky. And the little 4-year-old boys that were walking the dog said, Mom, can we take that home and put it in the house? I love that little boy. Because that's exactly, my father and I used to always try to take pictures of rainbows and sunsets. You cannot take a picture of a rainbow. I know people have double rainbows and all that. But it's not the same as seeing it in real life. Rainbows and sunsets, you just can't capture them on the film. You just can't. And the little boy, can we take it home and put it in our house?
That's exactly what we are called to do. God remembers his promise to us that he has changed and would no longer annihilate us, even though we deserve it some days. We should take that rainbow home and put it in our house so we remember the promise God made to each one of us. God is the one who remembers, and we are the ones who are gifted because of it. It's all about baptism, okay? We could go on and on about that. Thank you, Brooklyn, for being here. All the important people are here today, but you're the most important, and I'm going to say that from everybody. Confirmation student, she understands covenant. She understands promise. She understands God's grace, God's undeserved love, and God's love in action. She gets all that. She gets baptismal theology inside and out. She taught the teacher. That's what Lent is all about, baptism and repentance and turning and remembering a flood and a promise of new life. Not only for the elephants and the zebras and the giraffes and the maggots and the ants and the newts, but for each one of us, new life. But the question this Lent is, and not to put a black pall over it all, because it's white and snowy outside, will you repent? God has changed God's mind. Will you change your mind and not reject God and not rebel against God? Will you repent and accept your finiteness, your finitude, and stop grasping for control? Or will you continue the violence and the rebellion and the destruction and the rejecting of God daily in your lives? All the important people are here this morning. Thank you for being here. You can quote me. I won't be embarrassed for saying that. Because you were here because God changed God's mind. And God says, I love you. And the final act of that love is what we have then in the gospel reading for today. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. He was baptized, that important sacrament, maybe 13 of them coming up in the next 2 months, by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Oh, how wonderful, right? If we could have all been there and seen it and witnessed it. But then, did you hear what came right after that? And the Spirit of all things, the Holy Spirit, is the one who immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness, into chaos, into the floodwaters of the desert where there is no water. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Sound familiar? 40 days of Lent. Tempted by who? Satan himself. And Jesus was with the wild beasts. So he's in the midst of chaos. He's tempted by Satan. He's with the wild beasts out there, the gophers and the coyotes and the wolves, the mountain lions. But the angels waited on him. And after 40 days, he came out of the wilderness. He came out of the flood. He came out of chaos. And then he begins to proclaim the good news. And that's the gift for today. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe and trust in the good news. That's the gift, folks. In the midst of our rebellion and our rejection, in the midst of our not wanting to change, I'm right. I know I'm right. I just had that conversation with my mother in the past 4 months. We argued for about something for 2.5 years. That's how stubborn I am. I am my mother's son. For 2.5 years, we argued about something. I was right. And I didn't let her forget it. And she agreed with me finally. She changed. And she goes, you were right. But she was right to have her opinion too. Okay? It wasn't life and death or anything like that. Will you repent and stop grasping for control? I don't, as a son. Or will you continue the violence, the rebellion against, and the destruction and the rejection of God? God changed God's mind and will never flood the earth again and destroy it all. And God remembers that promise every time we see a rainbow. And every time we see a rainbow, we should want to take it home with us and put it in the house. Because it's your covenant, your promise. Amen.
Found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. Page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today, in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers in the church our bishops, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton and Reverend Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of February for our mission partner ministry, the Gerald Ferringer Community Youth Center here in American Falls. Nationally and around the world, we continue to pray for all people who have lost property and lives during floods and rains, which are coming again this week, and due to war across our world. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises in our nation and the world. And then due to death and burial, remember on this day in 1546, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, who died at the age of 62, that seems so young to me right now, 62 he died on this day in 1546. So we commemorate him and remember him and all the reformers of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God of truth, the ark of your church has room for many expressions of faith and trust in you. We give you thanks for the voice of the challenge in awakening your people. especially the voices of the prophets and the voice of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther and the reformers over 500 years ago. Lord, in your mercy, Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. God of truth, you remember your covenant with the earth and all its inhabitants. Rescue communities such as Lahaina, Maui, and all creatures hurting from natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. O God, who desire peace and justice in the world, free all those who govern from the temptation of power. Sustain all who work for human rights in every nation. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. And take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, steadfast love, grace, and hope to one another. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Lord, protect and cherish the most vulnerable among us. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be present with those looking to you for hope and healing. Be present with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate heart to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all the ministries who are faithfully a part of. As we enter into and begin the season of Lent, we pray that your Spirit is with us in our repentance and our turning to you. Fill us anew with your Spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Martin and all of the reformers. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Miracle Falls, Idaho this morning. Today in the church is the first Sunday in Lent. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting with us here today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Terry Kendall. Happy birthday this week to Christopher Kaysen, Brittany Hergesall, Harriet Dyer, Neil Polson. Happy anniversary this week to Flint and Stacy Raven. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found there? Speak now and forever hold your peace. If not, I invite the communion sisters and acolytes to come forward at this time in preparation for the Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing this now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
We pray the offertory prayers as found in the Readings and Prayers Bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise for the great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn book as we prepare for communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You cause your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, they may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Shake hands. Since the back row is the front row, I love this. When do you go to church when the back row is the front row of church? You know, that's not discounting you, Laverne, or you, Marita, but the back is the front row. What I will do is invite all of you to come down the center aisle on this side, my left, and receive both the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, and then go back to your pews on this side. I will go get a tub and replace it with the offering plate there, so you have somewhere to put your glasses. But we'll both, because we are few but mighty, all the important people are here, right, Brooklyn? Yes, confirmation student extraordinaire. So come on this side and then go back to your pews on that side. Why are you looking at me?
I was wondering if Carol Whitnaw needs us to bring it to her.
Carol Whitnaw, do you want to come forward? Yeah, okay, no, she's coming forward. All is prepared, come. This side, and then make the circle.
Thank you.
thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy and steadfast love, strengthen us through this gift in faith and trust toward you and in fervent love and care toward one another. For the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Coffee Hour is hymn number 604, O Christ Our Hope. The tune is familiar, the words are good. Listen to them as you sing them. Hymn 604, O Christ Our Hope.